Hello, everybody. Hi, we have everybody and it's 3 o'clock. So that's great. So I wanted to start by introducing myself. I'm Leah Mahalik. I'm the director of historic preservation here at the Metropolitan Planning Commission. So you'll be seeing my face a lot. You'll be seeing me at every meeting. But I've been here just over 11 years. I've been the director for about 4.5. If you have any other questions about me, feel free to ask, but I wanted the rest of the staff to introduce themselves too. Caitlin's going to be doing the bulk of your presentation today. So did you want to introduce yourself, and then Pam, and then Bree?
I'm Caitlin Chamberlain. I'm the Senior Historic Preservation Planner here at the MPC. And like Leah said, I'll be doing the majority of your presentation today. And I have been here for just over a year, but prior to that, I've worked in various fields of history, architectural history, archaeology. So looking forward to being having our committee reinstated. So nice to meet everybody.
Good afternoon. I'm Pamela Everett. I'm the Assistant Executive Director of Operations and Compliance, and I've been with the MPC now 4 years.
Hi, I'm Bree. I'm the one that you all received emails from, Bree Morgan. I have been here 16 years. I have worked in every department with the Metropolitan Planning Commission. I've been with Historic since 2019. If you need anything, send me an email.
Are you going to say anything, Hind? No. Hind is in our IT department, so Hind Patel. So I was hoping that you all would talk about yourselves a little bit. I wanted you all to get to know each other some today, too, because you will be needing to, appoint a nominating committee by the end of the day today to appoint a chair and a vice chair at the next meeting. So the more you know about each other by the end of this meeting, the better. So if we want to start at this end with Dave Roussel, we got to do a little microphone for you.
Good afternoon. My name is Dave Roussel, and it's my pleasure to be here.
You can't hear me, can you?
Yes,
oh, there we go.
The way the microphones work is if you're facing the microphone, there's a button on the right. Turns red to talk, and then you press it to. It's not red. You don't.
Okay, great. Right. Thanks, Leah. Hi, everybody. My name is Dave Roussel. I teach architectural history at the Savannah College of Art and Design. I've done that for 26 years now, and I have a doctorate in architectural history and an undergraduate work in history and in architecture. And it's my pleasure to be on the board again. I was on this board when it first began for a number of years. And then it sort of went dormant for a while, and now I'm back. So I look forward to it. It was always really fun and really productive. So,
thank you. My name is Ken Odermatt. I'm the managing partner for a real estate developer out in the Pacific Northwest, but reside in Savannah. I've also done several historic renovations around Savannah and worked with the MPC. I'm just very excited to be on the board and contribute any way I can. Thanks.
It's so good to be back. My name is Miranda Lumpkin-Lotson, and I am the Assistant Director for Economic Development with the City of Savannah. I have been in that role for 18 plus years. Very active within my community, and am a lifelong Savannian. We have seen a lot of change and a lot of growth and respect and dignity for our historic places, and places of note should be revered and restored and retained to maintain the historic character of our entire community. That being said, I was Vice Chair of the Historic Preservation Commission in its last iteration, and I am happy to return. Thank you.
Hello, John LaRude. I am a builder, developer, designer, and renovator, and I've been doing that since, I believe, after I finished SCAD, and I had the pleasure of taking Dave's course in vernacular architecture, and that's kind of where I really got involved in learning more about the older homes. Of course, I bought one of them and found out that every other weekend you have to spend fixing them. So that's kind of how I ended up, learning a lot through my own projects. And now I definitely help other people bring their homes back to life and make them as beautiful as they were intended to be. So I have a architecture degree from SCAD and also a business degree. And I'm real happy to be here and excited to learn about all the processes.
Good afternoon. I'm Kurt Norrell. I'm a professor of history at Georgia Southern University on the Armstrong campus. I'm a maritime historian and a maritime archaeologist. I've done a number of projects with my students in and around Savannah. And I've been here about 6 years, and I'm looking forward to contributing in any way I can. That one, right? The other one.
Hi, I'm Melissa, and I'm not technically proficient, as you will learn. My name is Melissa Kendrick. I'm an environmental specialist at Fort Stewart, Hunter Army Airfield. I technically do National Environmental Policy Act work, and that also requires that I know a lot about the historic laws and regulations. We work with the State Historic Preservation Office. We also work with the federally affiliated tribes. So I haven't got a background specifically with history, but I've definitely worked with that a lot. I've been doing this for 23 years. So it's something I'm very familiar with and that I enjoy. I love history. I've lived in two historic homes, so I know that every other weekend you love them and they make you crazy, but I just can't get enough of them. I love history. It's just something I truly enjoy. This is my first time doing this. I've been a member of Historic Savannah Foundation since I moved here 17 years ago, and I also volunteer with Coastal Pet Rescue. So history and animals are the most wonderful things in the world to me. And I'm very excited to be doing this.
My name is Jane Koslick. I'm a preservationist. I was born and raised here. So when you're born and raised here, it's in your blood. And I started restoring houses in the 80s, historic houses. Myself, I signed on as a general contractor because nobody else did on this project. And so I started falling in love with the work. And I would pick up the nails and be the gopher, and I learned from that. I took a lot of courses all these years. I've restored over 100 houses at Tybee, and I've done about 20 at Isle of Hope. And I'm so impressed with this board because I'm only here because I love preservation. So I have no expertise like you all, but I'm just a willing participant. So anybody needs anything from me, you can call me.
All right, so without further ado, we will move on to our only agenda items. So we're doing, everybody has received a copy of this binder. So we'll go through some of the key points, just kind of discuss the overall, the bylaws, the procedural manual, and the current ordinance. So you can follow along, but I will, in your binders, but I'll also have it up on the screen too. And I'm not going to read through the entire thing, but so for the bylaws that have last revised May 4th, 2022, I will just add a note that likely by the next meeting, there's some revisions that we're noticing that we'll need to make. So staff will be presenting those at the next meeting for the board to vote on. So just some background, the Chatham County Historic Preservation Commission was created by the Chatham County Board of Commissioners, and the Chatham County Board of Commissioners acted by ordinance adopted November 18th, 2005. So for the duties and purpose, the powers and duties of the Chatham County Historic Preservation Commission are those prescribed by Georgia Laws 1980, page 1723, section 4, and all those assigned by the Chatham County Historic Preservation Ordinance. The county's jurisdiction for requiring certificates of appropriateness as required by the Chatham County Historic Preservation Ordinance will be named and delineated as historic districts and historic properties as are identified and approved by the CCHPC. So the purpose of the CCHPC is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's vacation travel industry, its tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. There is a code of ethics in Appendix A that, you know, feel free to refer to at your leisure. The CCHPCS and staff shall operate under the National Alliance of Preservation Commission's Code of Ethics. So currently the CCHPC consists of 7 members appointed by the Board of Commissioners of Chatham County. That will be one of the changes we'll be proposing for the bylaws. And shall be persons who have demonstrated special interest in the preservation of historic resources. For jurisdiction, the jurisdiction of the CCHPC shall include those elements of development, rehabilitation, preservation, or demolition that affect the exterior visual quality of a historic district or property, specifically including exterior appearance of buildings within the historic district or historic property. Currently, the terms are that everybody is serving a 3-year term. So that is just a little different than what you see there, but we can. For the officers, this will consist of a chairperson and a vice chairperson. So as Leah mentioned, we will be asking for volunteers to be the nominating committee to nominate those positions. The officers shall be elected for a 1-year term. No member shall serve for more than 2 successive terms in the same office. I'm going to move ahead to page 5 with meetings. So with regard to meetings, all meetings shall be public except in those instances where closed meetings may be held pursuant to the laws of the state of Georgia. Regular meetings of the CCHPC may be held every other month beginning in January of each year. In the Metropolitan Planning Commission's Arthur Mendonca Hearing Room, which is the room we are in now, unless otherwise designated. And all meetings, just jumping down to number 10 rules, all meetings of the CCHPC shall be conducted in accordance with the most recent edition of Robert's Rules of Orders, newly revised. A copy of this has been provided in your binder. And we will have Pamela Everett to discuss briefly some of those. That'll be the most applicable to this.
And Robert's Rules, a brief synopsis of Robert's Rules was provided in the manual. And we'll basically kind of go through the parliamentary procedures for the board. Basically, of course, Robert's Rules is to ensure that the meetings are conducted in an orderly manner and that people follow those rules. So basically, the chairman will be responsible for calling the meeting to order and asking, of course, that the board approve the agenda and also approve whatever minutes have been introduced from the previous meeting. So basically, Robert's Rules requires us to make a motion. So someone would say, you know, I make a motion or move that the meeting minutes from our September 6th meeting be approved. Someone would second that motion, and then we would ask for everyone to vote. Georgia law requires that there be a voice vote for the board members. So when you vote on them, we would ask that you say your name and either vote yay or nay, or yes or no, however you choose to do that. And basically that's what you would do on every item that comes up on the agenda, is to, after you've heard it, staff would present it. The applicant would also get an opportunity to discuss whatever it is that they need to discuss with regard to their project. And then you would make a motion to either approve or disapprove of that matter. And so you can make the motion, and those motions can be amended by someone else on the board. Someone would ask to make, as we call them, a friendly amendment, and they would have to wait until they were recognized by the chairman and to make that amended motion. You would then vote on the amendment and then vote on the main motion. So those are the ones that you'll see most often. The other motion that you may see occasionally is a motion to table. Say, for example, a matter came before you and you weren't ready to address it, or you think it's something that needs to be discussed at a different meeting, someone can make a motion to table that matter. So someone would make a motion to table it, someone else would second that motion, and then you would go forward and everybody would either vote to either table or to go forward. The other motion that you'll see most often, of course, is the motion to adjourn, and that's to end the meeting. One thing that, of course, that I said, we always have to make sure the main motion is moved, seconded, and then the chair would also state what the motion is, and then we would ask for a vote on it. If you want to approve a motion, of course, you vote for it, and if you want to disapprove, you vote against it. And then the chair would announce whether or not the matter passed or didn't pass based upon the number of votes. I'm sure most of you have served on boards, and this information is not new for you. The one thing that the chair also does is sets a time limit for the public to speak if there's a matter before this board. Typically, most of the boards either give the public 2 to 3 minutes, depending upon how many members of the public wish to speak on a matter. We've had some where there'll be like 40 to 50 people. So yes, we will limit it to 2 minutes. If it's something where it's very contentious and there are only a few people, sometimes they'll give them additional time to speak on it. But the chair also regulates that. So how long a person gets to speak. No one is allowed to speak unless they've completed the speaker's card at the meeting. And typically, Bree would get those speaker cards and give them to the chairman. We do have copies of them, and we'll give them so that everybody can see what they look like. And we keep a record of who actually spoke at the meeting. There are times that a matter may come before the board that needs to be continued. And so at that point, you would make a motion to continue the matter, and you'd have to do it to a date certain. Typically, what we do for those are in the next meeting would be the date certain, unless the applicant asks for, say, a 60-day period or a 90-day period. And then when you made that motion, you would ensure that you included the date certain in that motion so that we know when it's coming back before this board. So, again, the ones that we always see is the motion to adjourn the meeting, or there are times that we may ask for a recess. If the meeting is running very, very long, there are times that a board member may ask the chairman to hold a recess. That recess would be voted on, seconded, and then there would be a time that's set for the recess. Very rarely do I see any of the other motions in our meetings. There are quite a number of motions that could be heard, but we rarely use any of those. There are times that you may call a point of order. So if a matter gets to the point where it's being very, very contentious and a lot of people are speaking, the chairman may ask, or somebody else might call for a point of order in the meeting. And that's something that would have to be voted on also. We don't have any committees, so you don't see anything being referred to a committee. And there are times that the only other one that I've seen is a motion to bring something for a reconsideration. Say, for example, if during the meeting a motion was made to deny a matter and one of the members decided that they wanted to reconsider it, they could reconsider it in that meeting. And so you could make a motion for reconsideration. And that would also have to be seconded and then voted upon. And then you would go back and reconsider that matter.
Those matters that are brought up for reconsideration have to be brought back for reconsideration by a member who voted in the affirmative for the motion in the first place?
Doesn't have to be in the affirmative.
Okay.
Just a person who voted, who actually, you were here, you participated, you can bring it back up. The one thing that I ask people to always do is wait until you are recognized by the chair before you speak. That's part of Robert's rules. And that once you have the floor, you can go ahead and you can speak on the matter. Let's see. And in this board, we require that it's a majority vote in order for a matter to be approved. So that's something, a majority vote in this right now, because there will be 7 members, would be 4. Would be the majority. Does anybody have any questions about any of Robert's rules? And that way I can go to that specific issue.
Am I right in thinking that one of the first things we're going to do is vote eventually to increase the size of the board?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought it said 5 members and there's...
It does. It's already... seven members have already been appointed. We're going to change the bylaws.
Okay.
To reflect that.
Thanks.
So we'll be voting on that at the next meeting. And I understand there are some other changes. Is that correct? That will be coming before the board to vote on?
Yeah, for Friday.
Okay. There are 2 other matters that may be coming back for the board to vote on, and we'll address it then. Whatever. I'll leave it. The changes to the ordinance, 2 other changes to the ordinance. Let me see what else. The other thing that I wanted to let everyone know, that this meeting is also conducted in accordance with the Open Meetings Act for Georgia, which means that all members must attend in person. You are allowed to attend twice in 1 year via telephonically, as long as there is a quorum in person in this room. And you can only attend if you are out of the jurisdiction or if you have a medical excuse from your doctor. And that would be something that you would submit to Bree so that she could bring it to Leah's attention and we would know that you weren't going to be in attendance. Members of the public can attend telephonically. We don't do secret votes. Georgia law doesn't permit that, so every vote needs to be recorded, and you need to, of course, as I said previously, state who you are when you make your vote. The Open Meetings Act also requires that we advertise every meeting, and so you'll see that we post it on our website. We also advertise it by posting it on our door so that everybody's aware of when our meetings are being held and the matters that will be discussed there. And for me, I think those are the majority of the issues that would come up with regard to Robert's Rules of Order. I also, in the book, we have a little chart here that kind of helps you make your motions and also tells you what is required and whether or not a motion is debatable. And most of what we do is something that's debatable in terms of the motions that we present it to you. And I think that's all I have now, and I'll be probably popping up as Caitlin is speaking and talking about some other issues with regard to Robert's rules or the meeting process. Sure. Do you have it in here?
Yes. Okay.
Thanks.
It's on page 6, you said, on the... Am I in the wrong? I'm in the wrong ones. I'm in your procedural manual. Sorry. It's the first one I'm here. I apologize. They've got several things pulled up over here. With regard to conflicts of interest, we ask that if you have a conflict of interest in a matter that comes before this board, that you disclose it. You're required, actually, to disclose it because you're not allowed to vote on any matter where you have a conflict of interest. And so you would complete this form. Typically, what happens when Bree sends out the agenda and you review the agenda, if you see that there's a matter that you have a conflict in, you'll fill out this form and send it to Bree. And so that we know that you will not be voting on that matter or discussing that matter. And what we ask you to do is if you have a conflict of interest in the matter, that you step down from the podium. And we typically ask people to sit in the currency room while that matter is being discussed. And then we'll call you back when the matter has been voted on. So those are the types of things that you can have a conflict in. Is it's a matter that you have a property interest in, or a member of your family owns it or has an interest in the property. You have a financial interest in the business entity that's coming before the board, or your family member has a financial interest in the business entity that has come before the board. The other thing is there are times when things will come before the board where it may be a neighbor of yours or a friend. You need to announce that you know that person or that, you know, and state whether or not you believe that you can be neutral and make a neutral decision, that the fact that you know that person won't have any influence on your vote. So, and if you think it will, then we ask that you recuse yourself. Anything else you want me to talk about while I'm up here? All right.
All right, so just wrapping up the bylaws, the only other item I was going to touch on was the items the board will be voting on are decisions on certificates of appropriateness, amendments of bylaws, or appeals by two or more members from rulings by the chair, and those all require a majority vote of the entire CCHPC. Before we move on to the next section, did anyone have questions about the bylaws? All right.
With regard to the noted changes, specific to the composition, when will those be addressed by the Chatham County Commission?
Do we have a
members has already been addressed?
Yeah.
Right. And the bylaws actually are amended by you all. So it doesn't have to go to the...
Mm-hmm. So from the 5 to the 7?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's the ordinance has already been changed. The county commission changed the ordinance from 5 to 7. So the bylaws just need to reflect that, and you can change your own bylaws. So we'll bring that redlined to you at the next meeting.
Noted. Thank you.
All right. Does anyone have any other questions? All right, so just procedural manual, just going over the basics. For the meetings, there's two types of meetings, regular meetings and special called meetings, which obviously are all held in this room. For regular meetings, they'll be held on the first Wednesday of every other month, beginning in January of each year at 3 p.m. Special called meetings, though rare, if they are called, there's a rescheduled meeting due to a lack of a quorum, which in this case would be a quorum. We need to have 4 board members, or sometimes there's other special called meetings addressing specific issues. And meeting notices, for regular meetings, the media shall be apprised of the time, place, and subject of the meeting at least 48 hours in advance. And for special called meetings, that will be 24 hours in advance. The agendas will conform to the following criteria and policies. For regular meetings, there's three agendas that go out. The first is the tentative agenda, which is an informal list of the issues and applications scheduled for a meeting, published on the MPC website shortly after the posted application deadline. The tentative agenda link will be emailed to all board members. The preliminary agenda has the formal list of issues scheduled for a meeting, which includes the accumulation of all staff reports, related correspondence, and data. That's also published on the MPC website and emailed to the board members at least 4 days prior to the scheduled meeting. And then the final agenda isn't sent out, but it is republished at the same site on the morning of the meeting. And jumping ahead to page 6 with policies concerning regular meeting agendas, the CCHPC will vigorously enforce a policy of preventing redundant, repetitious testimony and testimony which does not pertain directly to an issue under consideration. The policy exists to ensure that everyone has an opportunity to present new information germane to the issue being discussed. And the agenda items are organized according to the following categories. So you have your call to order and welcome, signposting, consent agenda, adoption of the agenda, approval of minutes of the previous meeting, items requested to be removed from the final agenda, continued agenda, request for extension, the regular agenda, approved staff reviews, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments, and other business which may be unfinished or new, and adjournment. Further details are provided about each of these sections within this document if anybody needs more information, but otherwise we'll go up to page 10. We'll talk about the procedure for presentations to the board. So following, Yes.
Just a minor point, it, the presentation seems a little off. Because on the table of contents, the policies concerning regular meeting agendas is for page 4.
Oh.
You were regularly talking about it being on page 6. So that's okay. A minor detail.
Yeah, maybe there might have been some kind of mix-up. We'll take a look and make sure that's all evened out. It's worth a mention. Thank you. All right, so procedure for the presentations. So the chair will call the application number by number and address the following or according to the agenda. Staff will make the presentation and recommendation. At that time, the board can ask questions of staff. After that portion, the petitioner is then asked to come up and make their presentation, where the board can again ask questions of the petitioner. The chair will inquire as to the number of persons from the public desiring to speak about an issue and where there are many potential speakers or where there's a likelihood of protracted discussion. The chair may set time limits on the debate. Members of the public may be allotted up to 2 minutes to speak. The maximum of time afforded shall be a function of the number of persons desiring to speak and the complexity of the issue. And then adherence to the time limits shall be enforced. There's also a rebuttal to public comment by the petitioner. The CCHPC asks questions of persons from the public, petitioner, or staff, and then goes into deliberation. To provide further clarification on CCHPC discussion, the chair may address questions to interested parties, and then the CCHPC acts on the issue. Did anybody have any questions? Oh, sure. We will. Posting of signs. Property shall be posted in accordance with the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance, Article 5, Historic Preservation Ordinance, Public Notice Section. Public Notice Section of the Ordinance shall be printed and attached to the signs for the petitioner's instruction. So this is for any of the petitions that come in to us, they will need to post signs on the property of said project. And that is, the staff will check that, and then board members also will check to ensure that signs are properly posted, because that's part of the official notice. Did y'all want to add anything?
And one of the questions that will be asked at the beginning of the meeting is, were there any properties that were not properly posted? Because if a property is not properly posted, it can't be heard by this board. So that's one of the reasons that you as board members go out to look to make sure that the properties are properly, have been posted and posted within the time limit required. And so if something has not, again, you're supposed to bring it to the attention of the rest of the board, let them know so that that matter will not be heard.
All right, thank you. All right, so if nobody has any other questions or comments on that, I'll move on to the ordinance. So this ordinance was originally adopted on November 18th, 2005, but there's a draft date of March 10th of this year and an amendment on May 12th, and there's another version that is in the works. So this is just the most up-to-date copy that exists that we've provided. The way that this is laid out, in order to keep our certified local government status in good standing, every couple of years, the State Historic Preservation Office reviews the ordinance as part of that. And so what we have compiled here is just kind of a collaboration between MPC staff working with the state as well as the county commissioners on some updates. One of the suggestions that we had was to include the definition of a view shed. And MPC staff presented their proposed version of the definition, and currently what's in here is what the county attorney Hart has written for it. So you'll see that the reason why it's red is because it hasn't gone through the second reading yet. And they did a first reading about it about two Fridays ago, and the second reading will be the time when there's public comment and they will make a decision on that. So we will update as that comes forward. But that's why you'll see that as a red line in here. I don't know if I'll just kind of go through. But for the Historic Preservation Commission, there are 7 members appointed by the Board of Commissioners. All members shall be residents of unincorporated Chatham County and shall be persons who have demonstrated special interest in the preservation of historic resources. The commission shall include at least 5 representatives of professions which are directly related to historic preservation, such as architecture, architectural history, planning, archaeology, law, building construction, or restoration. For number 4, statement of the commission's powers, the key items for the powers of the commission that'll be the most frequent would be B, review applications for designation of historic properties and historic districts and make recommendations to the Board of Commissioners on those properties or districts eligible to be designated by ordinance as historic properties or historic districts. C, review applications for certificates of appropriateness and grant or deny same in accordance with the provisions of the ordinance. And D, recommend to the Board of Commissioners that the designation of a historic district or historic property be revoked or removed. Did anyone have any questions? All right. Well, that concludes the overview presentation. So I think our next action item would be if we have any volunteers to form a nominating committee to nominate the chair and vice chair for presentation at our November meeting.
I'd be happy to be a member of that committee.
Great. Thank you.
Same old, just want to get together.
You all just want to get together. You can do it via email or in person or phone or however you want to do it, and nominate a chair and a vice chair out of the seven of you all. That includes if you want to nominate yourself.
All right, at this time, we would like to open it up to public comment for anybody who may wish to speak. Please be sure to state your name when you come up. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Ellen Harris. Excuse me. I'm with Ethos Preservation, but today I'm here representing the Isle of Hope Historical Association. Some of you may be aware that the Isle of Hope Historical Association submitted an application for designation as a local historic district through this body, and it was recommended for approval to the County Commission in July of 2023. The County Commission has been reviewing ordinances and making amendments in the meantime, including appointing a new board, but the Isle of Hope Historical Society has thus been following this process very closely. We were particularly in reference to the viewshed definition. As if you know Isle of Hope, you know how important viewsheds could potentially be to that district. And so we would like to provide some comments on the proposed definition. We are in no way trying to hold up the process or slow down the process. We are anxious for this to move forward, and we are really grateful to you all and to the County Commission for taking up this important issue. Viewsheds can be really tricky. So with that, if it's all right with staff, I have some proposed comments in printed copy for distribution. And we do intend to provide these comments to the County Commission meeting when they take this up this Friday, but we wanted to make sure you all were aware of the comments in advance as well. Caitlin, would it be possible to pull up the proposed definition on the screen so they can have it too? Thank you. I'm sorry. I could have done that. So the first sentence, you'll notice, references viewshed protection districts as overlay districts, which, you know, some communities protect their viewsheds through overlay districts, but the county currently does not have any viewshed overlay districts. So in order to enact this definition, viewshed overlay districts would then have to be created via ordinance through the County Commission. So we're just suggesting that instead of having them be overlay districts, have them be part of the historic districts, as would be is common in other communities. So that's in the first sentence. That's the tweak that you see there. The second red line deals with just a grammatical, making sure that's a complete sentence, that viewsheds are defined as, et cetera, et cetera. Part of that definition includes the notation of a designated scenic byway. The state has scenic byways, the federal government has scenic byways, the county does not have designated scenic byways. However, they do have something called designated corridors that's defined in their environmental overlay. And for example, Bluff Drive is listed, they have the different corridors listed specifically in that section. So we've just simply, instead of having it be designated scenic byways, we've referenced what the county already has on the books. That's not a new creation. And the final suggestion that we are going to be making is that instead of having the viewshed be from a motorist point of view, that we have it be from a pedestrian point of view. We think that language may have come from something like, you know, protections on the Blue Ridge Parkway or something like that, where typically a viewshed is only viewed from a motorist perspective, but that's not necessarily the case in the county. So those are our proposed suggestions. And we just wanted to make you aware of them, and we're happy to receive any comments that you do have. But more than anything, just wanted to bring this information to your attention. I'm happy to answer any questions about it. Realizing, of course, this is the first time you've seen it, so my apologies for that. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right, do we have any other members of the public who wish to comment on anything? Okay, well, just to wrap things up, just a few other details was making sure with the board that there's no quorum outside of the meeting. No, so if there's a group of four, that would be considered a quorum. And that also includes emails. So just so everybody is aware of that as well. And did y'all have any other?
So we don't have email forums outside of the
meeting. Right.
And additionally, in regard to quorums, I will send at least a week early prior to the meeting asking if you're attending the meeting, please respond, because if you don't respond, again, we have to have at least four. If we don't have that, there's a possibility we may have to cancel a meeting if we don't have a quorum. So it is important to note if you will be in attendance or not, please. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Gregory Anderson. I'm the Director of Building Safety for the Chatham County Department, and our department would be the enforcement arm for the some of the actions that would be taken by this body. In terms of certificates of appropriateness and any work that would be appropriate under that certificate would be enforced through our department, certainly if there is a building permit required or any other type of enforcement action. Good to be back again. Get this body reactivated and do some work in Chatham County. Thank you for your service.
Hi, I'm Andre. I work at the county attorney's office. I'm one of the assistant county attorneys. As I were mentioning earlier, there's going to be on Friday, we're voting on the ordinance to Board of Commissioners voting on the ordinance with the amendments that we have just made, which includes that view shed that she was just reading about. So that'll be the board's recommendation, and that's what they're going to approve, is what you have in front of you. Everything else has already been amended on it. The only thing that we may have to look at is the terms. There's a thing about staggered in there. And generally it was staggered, and we're going to try and keep it staggered, but since we had to appoint all of you at one time, that may be a conflict with what we've got there. So we're going to look at that and see how we can change that. The other question is if you have any questions about open meetings, open records, those type of things, you guys can always email me. I'll give you my email. It's A-N. I know it's a long last name. A-N-P-R-E-T-O-R-I-U-S. At ChathamCounty.org. So it's A, no middle name, because that's what they put an N there, and Pretorius is my last name. So if you have any questions about that, you can feel free to email me. Sometimes people are like, well, can I email four people on this? No, it requires you then have an agenda and everything else, and that's why you're not allowed to have a quorum outside of this. Also, if you have any questions about the ordinance, you can always email me and we'll figure it out for you. All right. Thank you.
All right. And then just the last item on our agenda is to let you all know that the MPC applied on behalf of Chatham County to START A Chatham County Historic Resources Survey Grant is phase of one portion of Chatham County that has been under surveyed. So that is something that now is Ethos Preservation will be undertaking this project, and we will update everybody as it progresses, but we just wanted to let you know that is something that'll be in progress now. So, and other than that, our next meeting is November 1st, 2023, 3 p.m., 112 East State Street, Mendoza Hearing Room. And that, if there is no further questions or comments, we can go ahead and adjourn. Okay. We officially are adjourned.